is the kingdom of heaven. You know, heaven is going to be made up of people that are like children. And we have to become that. And except you be converted and become as a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That phrase is brought out many times, except you humble yourself.
When it talks about children, it talks about innocent people, children that's trusting, and they're dependent. And that's how we have to be towards God. We have to be totally trusting and dependent upon God. We think so oftentimes that we can do this job by ourselves. I don't need God. I don't even pray for Him in the morning when I get up. And I'm guilty of that at times. We think about what we have to do, and sometimes we leave God out. And we need to humble ourselves and be submissive to Him, as the Bible would tell us. You know, one ingredient that the Bible says a child has is pure. You look back in Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, in verse 15. It says, "Thou wast perfect in all thy ways until iniquity was found in your heart." And that's true how God makes children. And we're innocent and we're pure and we're perfect until iniquity is found in her heart. I know a woman and talked to her. In fact, I when they say you marry a person, what'd you marry her for? Well, you had the ceremony, you know, but anyway, you didn't marry that woman or anything. But this woman said to me, she says, "You know what?" She said, "You know, when I realized if my baby died, that baby would go to heaven or be in God's providence from here on out. You know, but if I died, I'd go to the bad world." And she didn't want to miss her baby, and so she obeyed the gospel. But that wasn't the only reason. She knew that through the blood of Christ, she could have her sins removed. Her child didn't have any sins. And I think we need to understand that our sins can be remitted. Brother Bob Dickey mentioned this week, when a woman that had done so many things that was of the worldly nature, and she heard about the gospel, she said it was too good to be true. You hear that statement, you know, too good to be true. Well, it's probably not true. Well, it is true. What God has done for us is beyond anything we can think about. I have a relative. I may meet them yet today because they're having a Rogers reunion after a bit. But when she was a kid, she wanted to go learn more about God. And I think all of us, there's an instinct for us to know or to worship something. And so she would start walking towards church. Her parents wouldn't take her. She started walking towards the church building. Somebody would pick her up different times. She kept that up, and they'd bring her home. They were grateful to help this little girl. But her parents said, "This is not right that somebody has to take my children to church. I need to be there to teach them and to be with them and as an example and everything." And I think that is surely true. Brethren, be not children in understanding. He's telling us something about children. Howbeit in wrath or malice, be ye children. Be not children in understanding. You know, they don't know it all. Some may act like it at times. But they got 10, 12 years of really schooling and then college and maybe getting a master's degree. They just keep learning all the time. Be not like children in understanding, but in malice be ye children. It means there, if that little child is playing with his buddy or friend and they throw dirt on him or whatever it might be, "I hate you." Kids will say stuff like that. But you know, they're playing again in 10 minutes. But you know, in an adult, when your toes have been stepped on, sometimes it's 40 years. Maybe a lifetime. I'm going to get even with that person. I've even heard people say, when they're dead, I'm going to stomp on their grave. You know, what does the Bible talk about? Vengeance belonging to God. I don't have to read this verse. I just Friday night, Mike was talking about what the children were going to do today. And it's been in the works for some time. And the teachers have thought and what they can do and impress each one of us with what their children are learning about. And he said the Friday night, the last night of our meeting, I see you're on. Could you say something about children? You know, the Bible tells us what we can say about children. And so that verse, we can repeat it again, Proverbs 22 and 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he not depart from it. That sounds so beautiful in nature. And a brother said to me, how come my children are not faithful today? I can answer that. You know how you train them up. Are they following you, or what you say do you do, or anything like that? But it says they'll not depart from it. But children do depart. But you know there's one thing they don't depart from. If they have a conscience, they know how they've been brought up. And that'll never depart from them. They'll face God in judgment, knowing something. And so they won't depart from it. So a very precious verse. Better is a poor, wise child than an old, foolish king that will not be admonished. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is to make thee wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul writing to Timothy, Paul ready to die, he said, I'm now ready to be offered. But he left this young evangelist, and he turned to him and says that from a child, you've known the Holy Scripture. It's able to save you. I know that. And so it was left up to Timothy to go ahead. But how wonderful it would be to have our parents like Lois and Eunice that taught this young man. And we have grandmothers and mothers here this day that have done that very thing in a very excellent way. Children's children are a crown to old men. You hear people talk about how great their child is, or their grandchild, what all they've accomplished. And that's what it's talking about. Children's children are a crown to old men. You know, there's things that fade on in this life, but you remember if your children is faithful and obedient. I didn't think much about it when my parents said, well, our children, we five in our family, they don't cuss, they don't swear, they don't smoke, they don't drink, and so on. That's what is expected of a child. But my daddy was proud or pleased that we didn't do those things. And, you know, he wouldn't even have a television in the house when we're little. He thought, well, those kids are watching that television, and there's smoking commercials there, there's drinking commercials, there's cussing, and everything going on. And he wouldn't allow a TV in her home. He's thinking about us because so much is in TV, internet, and things of that nature. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. And we understand that. Sometimes you can't even understand it. But I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. The rest of the story, when I became a man, I put away childish things. There's some children things that we need to hang on to. And really, they are a help to us in directing our lives as the people, as the Bible talks about children, what they're to do. Of course, Ephesians the 6th chapter, in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's right for children to obey their parents. We don't know and understand the whole concept of that. When they respect what parents say, when they look at their parents as a guide, and then when they grow up, they respect the teachers. when they respect the law, and the Bible says the last of that, it's a prophecy that you'll live long on the earth, which the Lord your God gives you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this right, that thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's just actually a quote from Exodus, the 20th chapter, and verse 12. And that was the fifth commandment. There were four commandments how you treat God, and there are six commandments how you treat man. And he's telling us here, children, obey your parents. And honor thy father and thy mother. And that is the fifth commandment. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We have a big job to direct our children. You know, when our parents correct us, we think, you know, that's terrible. Oh, I can't wait to get away from home. I'm not that bad a child or anything. But you know, sometimes when you get corrected, it's for your own good, but you don't understand it. And when my mother said to me, it's for your own good that I have to spank you. And then she says, it hurts me more than it does you. I thought, how could it help you, hurt you, mother, when you're pounding on my posterior? How can it hurt you more than it does me? I said, why don't we just stop and we'll both come out okay. But correction is needed. And if we don't do it, sad consequences do occur. One thing I want to read, and it was quoted there earlier, when it talks about in Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, and I know Jim loves this verse, and I do too. It tells something about to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy sons and thy sons' sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. He's pointing in there, your days can be long. You know, if you violate your parents, and you violate the teachers at school, you violate the law, you're going to have a shorter life. You'll be put in prison. You'll be corrected time and time again. It's better if my parents slap my hand than what the law would do. But you know, in verse 5, it says something else, that thou may love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach your children diligently, and thou shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house. You know, we have a lot of time. Talk to your children when you're sitting in the house. And when you're walking by the way, you take them and hold on their hand. And when you lie down at night, and when you rise up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. That's where they read scriptures there, and that's supposed to always be with you. And it's teaching us that just because we have our children raised, that we can't retire from being a Christian, or we don't have to help them anymore. I know a woman said when her daughter got to be 18 years old, her daughter came to her more then, and she needed her just as much then as she did when she's a child. We all need our parents, and the Bible would teach that very fact. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Proverbs 23 and 13, withhold not correction from thy child. Don't you stand back and say, I ain't going to punish my child. I know parents that say sometimes, I can't punish my daughter, or I can't do this, or something, do that. You better do it now. Don't you withhold correction from your child, the Bible says. And what it really means, it says beat them with a rod, but it means the instruction, the kindness, and the love that you can show that child. You use that in correcting your child. But because a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. How many kids in this world have brought shame to their mother and daddy? When you go out in the world, you know whose name you represent. First of all, you represent Christ's name. Secondly, you represent your family name. And if you bring reproach on either one, it sends a bad message to whomever you are. Exodus 21 and verse 17, he that smiteth his mother and father shall be put to death. He that curseth his mother and father shall be put to death. They were just put to death under the Old Testament. If they slapped their parents, if they cursed their parents, they were just taken out and killed. We certainly would have less a population a day if that happened. Pray God that nothing happens like that of anyone you know. A closing verse, Exodus 2 and 2. When Moses' mother saw that he was a proper child, she hid him 3 months. I don't know and understand how she knew he's a proper child. May have been given direction from God that this child is going to be something for the rising maybe of a nation. And he began to bloom when he's 80 years old. I thought I'm already past blooming a long time, but he's 80 years old. He directed the children of Israel for 40 years. And he endured so much through those 40 years. It was mentioned here this morning. They wanted water. They wanted food. And they murmured. And 14,700 were killed at one time because they murmured. And God heard their murmur. But you know, in the closing verse, in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 10, it said there arose not a prophet in all of Israel like unto Moses, whom he knew the Lord face to face. We sing that song face to face with my Redeemer. And we will meet him face to face just a little ways away. We don't know when that'll be. And so this is preparation time. We start as a child. Unless you become converted just like a child. And you know what that means? That means that converted, and we find it in Acts the 3rd chapter when they were converted. Except you be converted and become like a little child. And that means repent. You know, a child has to make its mind changed a lot of times in life. You be like a little child. Be willing to change your mind. Be willing to think like Jesus and God and have heaven someday when you die. You know, when the people of Nineveh, the Bible says they changed. And when what was going to happen to them, they're going to destroy that city in 4 days, the Assyrian people. And Jonah went there. And when they listened and they obeyed, it said that God repented. It doesn't mean that God was bad when he repented. When man repents, he changes his will. When God repents, he wills a change. Something happens. If they'd have changed back, the flood wouldn't have had to happen. But they brought on their own doom. And God has a plan for us. He wants us to have heaven. Within that plan is our repentance and our confessing him. And that doesn't mean just to confess him. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that certainly is true. But it means also, I'll put him Lord in my life. I'll serve nobody else. And that's what Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You know, there's people that don't believe in baptism. You know, but when Naaman was told to dip 7 times in the River Jordan, and he thought of better things than that. But you know, he dipped 6 times and he still wasn't whole. And we can do a lot of God's commandments and if we don't complete them. And so when he dipped the 7th time, his leprosy was gone. When we dip, and John was baptizing in Jordan, and when they brought forth fruits meet for repentance, and he baptized them there for the remission of their sins. And so baptism is for that reason. The like figure for unto even baptism does now save us. Even this morning hour, when you think of the children and all that they have shown to us, we need to be like little children. Of such is the kingdom of heaven. There's going to be thousands of children in heaven. Do you want to go to heaven while we stand and sing an invitation number?